Blog Talk Radio.
Here, here, first day, here for the first day service. Also, a.k.a. referred to sometimes as the Sunday service, the first day service. So we went a little bit over on the seventh day sabbatical right there a couple of minutes ago. Okay, so here the live stream is on, Yes, so Shabbat Shalom, of course, the Sabbath that has ridden up, has gone forward here for the first day. In the Amharic, we would say Melkam, good, beautifully good, Ehud from the African Shemitic, Ahad, which is the first day. So here we don't call it Sunday from our true roots. That's only the Gentiles referred to as Sunday. We call it the first day of the 7 days, and we just fulfilled right there the Shabbat reading for Had Torah. And here, looking forward, we have the Haftarah, which is like the prophet's reading. And here, as I was mentioning right here, towards the fulfillment right there, let's just bring this up right here. Where are we right here in the year, in the season? What is the reason? What's the true reason for the season? Well, here we are prepping for the autumnal, the third of the three times in the year that Yahweh Eloheinu says that all the males of Yisrael Yasharala are to gather together in the place. You know what I mean? In that place, three times in the year. So here we're coming to the third of the three times. So we have seven feasts, seven festivals. Leviticus chapter 23 gives an overview. Now the Shabbat is also listed there. So technically we could say eight, right? But the Sabbath is continual. Right, the Shabbat is the continual. It's like a little mini, you know, holy day, set apart day. We could say even a holiday, so to say, you know, that is continual. But then in different times and seasons, like what's a Pesach, Passover, then the 10 days of unleavened bread. And then we have on the morrow after that first Shabbat, what do we have? The morrow after the Sabbath will be the first day they call Sunday. We have the first fruits. And then from first fruits, we are commanded to count seven Shabbats, seven Sabbaths complete. So 7 times 7, 49. And then it says on the morrow, the next day after the seventh Shabbat, that's where we get the New Testament and Koine Greek sense of Pentecost from the Koine Greek, the common Greek Pentecoste. Pentecoste. What is Pentecoste? 50th day, right? And on that particular day is the fourth of the seven feasts and festivals of Yahuwah, the appointments, the day Yahuwah, known as Shavuot. Shavuot, also called Shavuot. What is Shavuot? It is basically the weeks or the sevenths. A Shabua is a week from the Shabbat, seven in the Hebrew. So we have Shavuot is weeks. It's also referred to as harvest and the feast and the festival of weeks. Now, it's very important when we go into the scripts to actually get the reading right there so we can study, you know, and get the true context of it. It says at the end of the year. What's very interesting about the Torah reading and feeding and what is said concerning the autumnal. We prefer the autumnal to fall. What do you mean by fall? Fall, yes, it's a fall festival season. We prefer the autumnal, the autumn season coming in. So the feasts and festivals are also synced with the seasons because we have the harvest, you know, so it's worship, yes, right? But it's also praise and prayer, yes, invocation, but it's also food, right? And the blessing of the land. Remember what he says in the, is that Numbers or, no, I think it's Deuteronomy, where he says that if ones and ones do these things that he commands, that it will be as the days of Shemaim, of the heaven of Shemaim on the Aretz, on the earth. The days of heaven on earth. Very interesting when we talk about whether going to heaven, right, or thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We're supposed to be doing that work on earth. You know what I mean? To establish the kingdom of Yahweh Eloheinu Bashem Yeshua. So here, We have Shofar, the ram's horn, and the blowing of the ram's horn. We're coming into the Chodesh Elul, right? The time of the Chodesh Elul. Here we add Ki Teitze, Ki Teitze, Ki Teitze, when you, right, enter in, speaking to the individual, right, but also the corporate body as one man. So here, for this 49th sabbatical study, we have civil laws, civil Torah, direction instructions for Amo Yisrael, for the people, the Am, right? Amo, the people of Yisrael. In the previous Shavua 7, the Torah reading was Shoftim, judges, Shoftim. Moshe, he defined an extensive system of tzedek, of tzedek. What is tzedek? Might be familiar with that even in the name Melchizedek. And Hila Taras Melchizedek for that comment that was brought to I and I attention, you know, concerning the 13, number 13, the Bar Mitzvah, and even the revelation, you know, within the liberty, the life and liberty of His Divine Majesty, I and I Father and King, Kedemawi Haile Selassie. Very interesting, the number 13 right there. But his name, Melchizedek. So we have Zedek. Zedek, just to bring out more of the sense. And from the previous Torah reading and feeding for Shabbat Shoftim, we have this principle here. I'd like to share it again for your ear.
Justice shalt thou follow. Zedek, Zedek Tirdofa. Justice shalt thou follow. Tzedek, tzedek tirdofa, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yahuwah Eloheka giveth thee. I. Tzedek, tzedek tirdofa, litma'ana tichyeh. We ya rashta eta areta asheria waloheka notena lak.
So from the 48th degree, from the 48th degree of our sabbatical study, the previous week, the previous Shavua, we had Shabbat Shoftim, Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath judges. Moshe there defined an extensive system of justice, of tzedek, for the Israelites, of Bnei Yisrael, and pointed to the coming Mashiach, Mashiach, the coming Messiah, who would be the rightful king of Yisrael. Yahuwah, your Elohim, will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, from your brethren. It is to him you, y'all, shall listen. Bringing out Deuteronomy chapter 18 at verse 15. Once again, Yahuwah, y'all Elohim, y'all almighty power, will raise up for you a prophet, a Nabi, a prophet like me. Now, here we have Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is referred to as, and we say properly, but ones might not get it at first. Hopefully we can reason, ones will get it, as the gospel. It's the gospel according to Moshe. Many ones get confused about these things that are written here because basically it is Moses, the mediator. Moses is the mediator of Yasharal, of Yisrael. Is it because Moses sought that for himself, or is it even because Yahuwah made that so? No, really, it's because the people, when they heard the 10 words, you know the 10 words known as the 10 commandments?
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
You heard?
You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments,
of the Ten
Commandments, and can elaborate on
hand, elaborate on hand, elaborate on hand, elaborate on hand. So here, more of elaboration. So Moses said these words in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Yahuwah your Elohim rise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, from your brethren. It is to him you shall listen. So now this brings us here for continuity purpose to this Shabuah, to this sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, for Shabbat Ki Tetzei, Ki when Tetzei, right? When you go forth, right? Moshe returned to the more immediate, the more right now concern of establishing social order for the people, for Ha'am, for Amo Yisrael before they entered the promised land by proclaiming additional social laws or Torot, directions, instructions that were to be enforced. In fact, in many of the Yehudi tried and traditions, older ones and even some of the newer, the later day ones, based on some of the earlier principles, for example, following Maimonides, identifies here no less than 74 of HaTorah, of the Torah's 613 commandments in this Torah portion, this Parsha. Right? In this Parsha, this Torah reading and feeding here, there is no less than 74 of the Torah's 613 commandments. And the commandments may be seen within the two types, the positive, that which thou shalt do, the ta'aseh, and the lo ta'aseh, and the not to do. So both the positive and negative commands, no less than 74 of the 613. And this is more than any other Torah reading and feeding. And this one right here at the 49th degree of the sabbatical studies, we have no less than 74 of HaTorah's 613 commandments, the mitzvot, more than any other Torah reading and feeding, more than any other Torah portion, covering a wide assortment of rules and regulations relating to ethical warfare, relating to family life, relating to burial of the deceased, relating to property laws, property directions, instructions. The humane treatment of animals is also found here. And it's kind of interesting because you start to study the Hebrew, and as even we come together and start to study in the true way of studying these areas of scripture, we start to see a lot of these things. It's not so apparent from the translation. Some things get lost in translation, but we even have humane treatment of animals. Right, of animals regulation. I know once we'll say, but there was sacrifice, and you know, we have to look at the context. You know, I was reminded that we shouldn't look at, you know, the ancient scriptures through the modern eyes. We have to kind of see it within that, place ourselves within the time. That will make us more, as I say, appreciative, you know what I mean? Even of the Brit Chadasha, yes. Right? We have fear labor practices, right? Honest economic transactions, right, amongst other important direction instructions, amongst other important Torah. Now here for Parashat Ki Tetzei, we have the opening. Ki Tetzei la milchama al oybeka. When you go out to war against your enemies. Ki Tetzei, when you go out, when you come out, when you go forth. La milchama, like to do war, or to the war, to do war, la milchama, war. La milchama, ki tetzei la milchama, upon or against oybeka, against your oyeb, your enemy, your foe, right? From like the ayab to be like hostile, against those who are hostile. Right, to Yasha Allah. You know, I've heard some other Israelites, you know, saying that this is like for whoever we're fighting, we could be fighting fellow Israelites. No, this is not what it's saying about fighting fellow Israelites. You know what I mean? No. You know, yes, there were times when Israelites went against Israelites, a civil war time that we find in, interestingly enough, Shoftim, in Judges, you know, the book of Judges, you know, between namely Benjamin and everybody else, but then it was narrowed down to Benjamin and Yehuda, all right? This is why we put forward, you know, a call for unity, you know, among the Black American Rastafari and also Jamaican Rastas, you know. We need to come to unity and also respect for the struggle in the particular regions to organize and centralize I and I people and to deal with the, you know, diverse, you know, Babylon systems to free up our peoples. But here, this is speaking about warfare against others other than Yasharallah, other than Yisrael. Here it says, Kitei tzela milchama al oybeka. When you go out to war against your enemies, against your enemies. So this here brings us into this time and into this particular season, right? In this time, in this season, according to the lunar solar calendar, we can say the Hebraic or the Torah-orientated calendar, we're coming into the 40 days of Teshuvah. 40 days of Teshuvah, right? African Shemitic pointing to Teshuvah, modern Hebrew Teshuvah. Right, the last moon, the last month of what often is referred to as the Jewish calendar, right, counting when it's counted from Tishri, but actually, according to the Torah, the holy, like I said, the ecclesiastical, the churchical calendar, the holy calendar that we find within the Torah, we are actually in the seventh month, the seventh moon. So people say, well, how come it's called New Year's, Rosh Hashanah? Because this is the end, we're coming to the end of the holy year. I say the holy year where there are the seven feasts and the seven festivals. They occur in the first seven moons, the first 7 months. And so here when we come into Tishri, what's known as Tishri, it is the seventh moon and seventh month. So from the Yom Teruah, the day of blowing of the ram's horn, the trumpets, this also is referred from ancient times as Rosh Hashanah, called the head of the year. In other words, we're coming into the kingdom year or the civil year. So from April, May, right, roughly April, May, we have Abib, right, Abib. That's the first of the moons, according to Torah, the first of the months. Then we start to go through the seven feasts and seven festivals. And when we come to the beginning of the fifth, right, and following the sixth and seventh, sealing up the Mo'edim, right, the Mo'edei Yahweh, the feast, the festivals appointed for covenant-keeping Yisrael, we are at the seventh month, the seventh moon. And after this now seals up, there are no more commanded appointments as far as holy feasts or holy festivals that are commanded according to the covenant. There are other feasts and festivals by tribe and tradition, right, that have been kept, right, and because of the meaning and the reason for them, they should be kept as observations and giving thanks for Yah's grace to his covenant-keeping people throughout the generations and giving us strength even in these latter days and times, right, overcoming this world, flesh, and satanic system of things, this Babylonian, white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, so forth and so on. You heard about the BRICS? Anyway, that's a whole other matter there. But the civil new year, so we are coming into these 5 moons and 5 months after we seal up the last of the three times. So there's seven feasts, seven festivals that occur in three seasons, three times. We're coming into the third and the final of these three times in the year. And even HaTorah says this. It says, and the ingathering of the crops at the end of the year. So one has to ask, is it really the end of the year? For covenant-keeping Yasharallah, covenant-keeping Yisrael, in keeping the holy days, the feasts, and the festivals, as we find recorded in Leviticus chapter 23, it is the end of the, we say, holy or ecclesiastical, you know, that church in the wilderness year. You know, and then we go through the so-called winter moons, the winter months, 5 particular months until we come around again to the Abib, to the first of the moons. So here we are in the last month or the last moon, right, as far as a holy season, the 7 months, right? And this is called Elul in the Mardin, and really it's the 6 months. When we count from Aviv, the first, it's the 6 months before the 7th month, which seals up, you know, the 7 feasts and appointments of Yahweh Eloheinu. This began here in this season, right, on the Wednesday, right, Wednesday, August 16th. So take note of this particular year. So we're already in this time of Elul, in the 40 days of Teshuvah, 40 days of repentance, 40 days of turning from the astray ways and to Yahweh, truth and life. Traditionally, Rosh Hashanah Elul, right, it marks the beginning of a 40-day season of repentance of Teshuvah that culminates on the solemn holy day, holiday of Yom HaKippurim, of the Day of the Atonement. And we emphasize the fuller name Yom HaKippurim and not just Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, a day of a atonement, according to the scripts, Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonement or the coverings. It's like an insurance policy, so to speak, for Yasher Allah, for Yisrael. The month, the sixth moon, the 6th month, that after the Babylonian captivity was also referred to by the name of Elul, is therefore a time set aside each year to prepare. This is a time, these 40 days, a time set aside to prepare for the Yamim Noraim. What is the Yamim Noraim? Yamim, the days, Nora. Nora means like to be dread, right, or to be awesome, right? Noraim is the plural sense, like the awesome days, the days of awe, even the days of dread, the Yamim Noraim. By getting our spiritual house, our spiritual bait in order. During this time, during this season, the 40 days, we make additional and should make additional effort to repent, to change our mind from that which is astray to Yahweh, truth and life, to do teshuva, to think different. Think different from the world, flesh, and satanic system, and think more like he who be who he be in the Moshiach Yeshua HaNotri. To turn toward Ha'ilahim, the Almighty, right? To turn to shuv to Elohim. In the Judaic tribe, these 40 days are also sometimes called the Yemei, days of Ratzon. Yemei Ratzon. What is the Yemei Ratzon? Yemei Ratzon is the days of favor. Yemei, days of. In the Hebrew, Yemei would be days of. See, Yamim are days, Noraim, right? Plural, like dreads, right? Or oars, awesome days. Here we have a different sense of the Hebrew. Here we have days of. Yemei, days of. So it needs another word to qualify it. Yemei, days of Ratzon. Ratzon. What is Ratzon? Ratzon is favor. Also, Ratzon links to be like the will. Like we said, like may it be according to his will in that sense. Since this was the time that Yahweh, that Jehovah had forgave Yasher Allah, Yisrael. Did you know this time? So we start to study the seasons, studies HaTorah, and we begin to see how it begins to mirror. Even the seasons, when they rise, they also mirror some significant events within the Beta Israel tribe from ancient days and in prophecy and actualization, even into our days and time. But this time, these 40 days, this was a time that Yahweh had forgiven, called Yisrael, all of Israel, the Yisrael nation, after the sin, the chet, the missing, the lack, the uckery, the effery of the Egel Maseka, of the molten calf that we still say falsely called the golden calf. Yes, there was gold there, but in the Hebrew scriptures, it's referred to as the molten Egel, calf Maseka, that which they they mold it, right? According to the Perkei, the Reb Eliezer, some of the ancient teachings on that goes into, you know, linking up and syncing up the time, right? We've gone through that, and it is accurate that this season, this time, the Yom, this season leading to the Yom HaKippurim, it matches in HaTorah what was going on after they had committed the Chet, after Yasher Allah was caught lacking with the Egel Masika, the so-called, the pseudo golden calf. Now, some of the sages from the bygone days and even amongst I and I today liken these 40 days to the number of days. Get this. These 40 days. You remember when Yisrael did what it did? And there was many ones who were slaughtered when Moshe came down and he said, who's on Yahweh's side? And then we had the tribe of Lewi, of Levi, and he told them to put their sword in their thigh and to do that business there. You know, then, you know, Moses went back up. Remember, Moses went back up to plead Yahshua Allah, to plead Yisrael's cause. And so he spent another 40 days. Now, during this 40-day time, Yisrael had already broken terribly the covenant. In fact, because of that broken covenant, they were worthy and subject to death. Right, and many of the ringleaders, as we get in the narrative when Moshe came forward, you know, and said, well, who is on Yahweh's side, right? And only the tribe of Lewi, only the tribe of Levi, right, could have a positive affirmation. Let's bring in Moshe Levi, Brother Shine Poe right here on this part right here, because this kind of matches right here. Spirit of the Levites, right here. Here we go.
Confirmation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulties, you can be like some of the Rev Rav in the Russia, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say, oh man, Hashem brought us here to die, and they give up. Or you can be like the Levites who kill their mothers, their father, sister, anybody who was wrong with, you know, what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with. But what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with. But what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with.
I am your creator, your king, the holy one of Israel.
Of the King's Highway, and that's also a time of pilgrimage for Yisrael. So they would be on that way that was like the King's Highway, even in old Israel, you know, that road to Zion, to the castle of great King David, and then a little bit more, making heights, one would reach Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the holy city. One thing that Moshe Levi was not, you know, accurate with when he says killed their mothers and the woman. No, most of the ones that were slaughtered on was the men, them, among them, you know, to whom more is given, more is required. And the narrative and the text even expresses that. But the Levites were willing, right, to do what was necessary, and it's obvious that they did not suffer from that guilty consciousness that others. When Moshe said, he didn't say, who among the Levites are on my side? Well, he didn't say his side. He said, who is on Yahweh's side? Who is on Yahweh's side? And only the tribe of Lewi. Many say within the narrative, this is why Levi was chosen for that particular function, you know, and even compare it with the incident concerning their sister Dinah. But the 40 days that the Israelites now were like in suspended animation, in a sense. Now, when we compare the second 40 days to the first 40 days, it's very, very interesting, I say. Because the first 40 days, we saw how the Israelites, roughly around Exodus chapter 32, how they get, as we say, they got bummy. You know, the mind then rushed on Aaron and, you know, what we don't know, what's going on with this Moses, so forth and so on, you know. And they sought to make an effigy, a Elohim or a God, right, likened to actually Moses. This is what's interesting. right? It's likened to actually Moses. That calf right there was symbolic of Moses, you know, but they had already said a little bit earlier, all that Yahuwah has said, we will do and we will hear, or we will do and be obedient. Because in the Hebrew sense, to hear, you know what I mean, also has an implication to obey, right? This is, that's in Exodus chapter 19, right? And then we get Exodus chapter 20 when Yahuwah, right, Eloheinu himself spoke those 10 words. And then we also see, right, in that same chapter, after the 10 words were spoken, when he spoke the 10th of the 10 words called the 10 commandments, but according to scripture, the 10 words, the Asaret HaDebarim, the people were afraid. They drew way back, right? They did not want to go within the thick cloud and commune with Yahuwah Eloheinu. Moses sought to reassure them. And even here in Deuteronomy, he gives another perspective of that same incident. As Moses here is giving almost like a something similar to like a deathbed confession, right? And also blessing. And he's testifying to a new generation of Yahshua Allah because of the fathers and the patriarchs who were brought out of the Tawi, of the two lands of Mitzrayim, right? Pseudonymously called Kemet. You know, as they were brought out, they were not worthy to be brought in. Psalm 95, the second part, kind of speaks to that. So Moses is kind of warning the new generation of youths. It says, Jah calls on the youths because they are strong. So he goes up there the second 40 days, and during the second 40 days, the people are pensive. The people don't know what's going on. They know that they have really, as we say, ucked up, right? You know, they've been caught lacking in a bad way, you know? Guiltiness is definitely on their consciousness about what happened. In fact, they were in a broken covenant. A lot of ones don't even recognize that, that we have a broken covenant in the Old Testament, right in Exodus, and then a renewing. Here we get the sense of the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant. Not the new covenant in the sense of the fulfillment in the Moshiach Yeshua, but a renewing of the covenant would be called a new covenant, right? And this all takes place with Moshe's advocacy, his advocacy. He was like that advocate of Yahshua Allah, of Yisrael. He besought Yahuwah, right? And here on that mountain, the mountain.
Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. I tremble with fear. I tremble with fear. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Behold, look in sight. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living King of Kings, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels, to festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn.
Now, right there, that was from Hebrews, right? Hebrews right there. Let's just bring that out right there. You know, Hebrews 12 and 23, the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 23. The general assembly and the church. Now, in the Hebrew sense, the kehillah, kahal, mean like to assemble, like wayah kahel, one of the Torah reading and feedings where Moses assembled the tabernacle, right? And also Wayah Kahel, he assembled the people, the Kahal or the Kehillah, right? It can also be interpreted as church. But what's interesting is that even in the New Testament, we have this idea that there was already church in the wilderness. Stephen Estefanos, the first martyr of the Nazarenes, he testifies to that in Acts of the Apostles, I think around about chapter 7. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, to the general assembly. This is what the seasons, the holy seasons that we have the three times in the year, these are general assemblies, right? And it's also a call out assembly, a gathering together, a kahila, the kahal, or the church of the firstborn, who are written in Shemayim, in the heavens, and to Elohim, and to the Almighty Power, Ha Shofet, the judge, Ha Shofet, of all, and the Ruchot, the spirits of just, of tzadikim, of righteous men, made perfect, made complete. That's verse 23. Well, let's just scroll right here. Let's scroll right here. All right, let's pick up right here with verse. This whole chapter is important in our study here of Exodus, what happened in Exodus, what Moshe is recounting in his gospel. So it's actually Moses, the mediator, you know, giving his, you know, instructions and direction in Yahuwah's name. Remember, Moses is the one who went up and who, in a sense, plea bargained. He plea bargained for Yasharala, for Yisrael, in the incident of the Egel Masekah, the incident of the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19, it reads right here. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 18. Might have to go over this whole chapter here because how it connects with the holy season. So when one is familiar with our Torah, and one reads and studies various areas in the Brit Chadash, the New Testament, one immediately see the link, right, and recognize what even the apostles, right, were thinking, right, even Hawari Apollos, Rabbi Shaul. Verse 18 says, for you all are not come to the mountain that might be touched, and that burnt with fire, nor to the blackness, right, or the disillumination, the nophos, the gloom. Actually, it's not really blackness so much. They translate like that, but it's more like a gloom. You know, like when something is like twilight, right, and darkness and tempest, verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet. Remember, beginning in the third of the three times, it begins with what feast? The third of the three times in the year where all the men of Yasharal of Yisrael are called to appear in that place where Yahuwah sets his name. What is that feast? What is that day called? Yom Teruah. Teruah means like the blast, even that blast of the ram's horn. So we reading in the New Testament, it says, and to the trumpet blast of the angel. You remember that? You know, when it talks about the trumpet blast, even in Revelation, to properly discern them, one needs to get a groundation in HaTorah, right? Because this is the pattern that Yahweh Eloheinu revealed to call Yisrael. And the sound of a trumpet or a shofar and the voice of words. This is what they heard when they heard Yahweh Eloheinu speak those 10 words, pseudonymously called the 10 commandments. Which voice those that heard. So that same voice of the words that he heard in Exodus chapter 20, which voice they that heard entreated, they begged, they beseeched that the word Hadabar, remember it says in the beginning was the word Hadabar, and the bar was with Ha Elohim, Ha Elohim, the Almighty Power. Yes. So that word, they entreated that word should not be spoken to them anymore. Now, there's a foreshadowing of this, even with the Moshiach, Yeshua, right? The Enochian Messiah that Hanok, that Enoch, right? The just, the righteous that he mentioned, you know, the Messiah in the first advent, the Messiah, son of the woman. The Messiah of the parables, of the proverbs. So the people that had heard in Exodus chapter 20, right, Yisrael, they begged, they entreated that the word Hadabar, the word of Yahweh Eloheinu, should not be spoken to them anymore. Because they said, lest they die if they would hear anymore. And Moses said, hey, you know, fret not yourself. Al-Tirao, fret not yourselves. that he's coming to prove you. What does it mean, prove them? Well, they said that all that Yahuwah has said, they will, right, they will do and they will obey, right? They will do and they will be obedient to. For they could not endure, that which was commanded. See, this brings out a very important highlight that will illuminate our reading and studying of HaTorah when we're studying even in Exodus. In Exodus chapter, let's go here. Come, make a reason so we can unpack this and see it in its actualization, see it in its application, both to us individually and also to us collectively, you know, as one body in Moshiach, and Moshiach as the Rosh, Moshiach as the Ras, as the head of that one body. Here we have Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. It says, and all the people saw the thunderings. You know, we have a good time on this one when we're studying the Hebrew here. Look, wait, hold on. The people, they saw the thunderings. Yes, it says, it is written, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the noise of the shofar. They saw it. And the mountain smoking in the Bible, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Verse 19. I mean, look at the numbering here. We're in Hebrews, comparing, contrasting here, a little Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 19. Right? We started out with verse 18, right? Here we're in verse 19. And they said, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, 2019, and they said to Moshe, what did they say to Moses? Speak thou with us, in order to speak to I with I and I. And we will hear, we will Nishma, we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us. Don't let the Elohim, the Almighty Power, speak with us, lest we die. Maybe this is one of the reasons why, not all, right? But there are many, you know, Rastafari, many of those who say they're Rasta and they love His Majesty, and Majesty is I and I, God and King, but it don't seem like they're willing to hear this and obey them.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Boom. There we go right there. So the people said, what? Speak thou with us. So Yahuwah Eloheinu was speaking with all of Yisrael, right? Was speaking with all of Israel. And the people said, Moses, you got to speak with us. This is where they call for Moses to be their mediator. So when we get to that particular prophecy where it says that he will raise, right, a prophet likened unto Moshe, right? So Moses was a mediator, right? Wasn't he a mediator? He was a mediator between the people, Amo Yisrael, and Yahweh Eloheinu, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. The Holy One, blessed be the name, right? He was a mediator. Right, and Yeshua is the mediator. Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMoshiach. He is the mediator of the Brit Chadasha. So he says, speak thou with us, with I and I, and we will hear. But let not Ha'elohim, Ha'Elohim, the Elohim, the Almighty, speak with us, lest we die. And verse 20, and Moses said to Ha'am, he said to the people, he said to Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, fear not, don't fear, false evidence appearing real. You hear the thunder, lightning, all this is going on, right? For Elohim has come to prove you, and that his fear, or bringing out the Hebrew a little more better, his reverence, respect, as I and I would say, his reverence may be before your faces. In your POV, his reverence will be your POV, your point of view, right? Before your faces, that you'll sin not, that you don't uck up, that you don't be caught lacking. But notice this right here, here, here. What does it say right here? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12:20, right? For they could not endure that which was commanded. These 10 words, those 10 words. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Verse 20. And so terrible. Remember we said about the days of Or, the Yamim, Noraim. In fact, Ha-Norah, Norah is one of the attributes of Yahuwah, of he who be who he be. Ha-Norah, Norah. He is the awesome one. He is the awful one, the dreadful one, right? It's interesting how in English we say something is awesome, and nowadays that's taken to be good. And then we say something is awful, it's full of awe, that's taken to be bad. But in the original sense, even of the English, both those senses are one, to be awesome, right? Awesome, and to be full of awe. So Nora is one of the attributes of he who be who he be. So it says, and so terrible, so awesome, so dreadful was the sight. Remember it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, and all the people saw. So dreadful, terrible was the sight that Moshe said, even Moses had to say, I exceedingly fear, dread, reverence, and quake, right? But ye, verse 22, but y'all are come to Mount Sion. Now in the King James Version, they spell it as S-I-O-N, S-I-O-N, Chabarim, disciples, take note of this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. In the King James Version, when you see Zion, they spell over S. That's a kind of a false alliteration, false lettering in that sense, a false alliteration of it. It should actually be Z-I-O-N. But because it's translated from the Koine Greek, and Greek does not always is able to enunciate, that's why they say Yesus, right? Iesus. They say Iesus or Yeshua. Yeshua, Iesus, because they don't have an R, some of the sounds they don't have. But just for ones and ones note, there is another S-I-O-N in the Old Testament, not to be confused with the Z, the Z-I-O-N, the Z-I-O-N, or the Zion. So this verse properly read, but y'all are come to Har Zion, to Mount Zion, and to the city of Elohim Chayim, of the living Elohim. And we have to heal up our ancestors here in this North country, the Black Afro-Americans, you know, Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, the Commandment Keepers, Congregation of Elohim Chayim. Elohim, God in translation, Almighty Power, God Chayim, the living power, are come to the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, when it says angels there, Chavarim, also note that in the plain simple, getting out of the religious spookism, angels basically messenger. Now there are the spirit and the fire angels, right, of the higher order, right? And there's also those of us, of I and I, who should be messengers of the good news of the King of Kings Christ. So just to note that right there, the angels above, right, and the angels here on this earthly plane below. Verse 23. I know there's some questions on that, but just note that the company of angels, the company of messengers, be about the good news, right? Verse 23. To the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn who are written in Shemayim, your name written there in the heavens, the higher heights, and to Elohim HaShofet, to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the Ruchot, the spirits of Tzadikim, of just righteous men made perfect. Let's go to verse 24. And to Iesus, in the Koine Greek, it will be pronounced as Iesus, the Hebrew Yeshua, Yeshua, right? And no, some say Yahweh Shai, the I, they say there's a misreading of that Hebrew letter and this vocalized sound. And to Yeshua, the mediator, the mediator. Remember, Moshe is asked in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, 2019, speak thou with us and we will hear, but don't let Elohim speak with us lest we die. All right. And Moshe sought to encourage them and say to the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you. All right. In other words, he trust, but verify. You have said this. Now let it be verified that his reverence, his respect, his fear may be before your faces, your perspectives, that y'all don't uck up, that y'all don't sin, be caught lacking. 2021, Exodus 2021. And the people stood afar off, and Moshe drew near to the thick darkness where Elohim was. So Elohim was in the thick darkness, right? 2022 sounds like a year. I know. And Yahuwah said to Moshe, after Moses now drew near to the thick darkness, Raphael, Yahuwah said to Moshe, thus like this, thou, speaking to Moses, shall say to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, y'all, you all, have seen that I have talked with you from Shemayim, from the heavens. Let's just seal up here with what matches this year right here. Exodus 20:23. Y'all shall not make with me Elohim, Elohe, Kesef, Elohim of silver, neither shall y'all make to you Elohe, Zahab, Elohim of gold. Now notice what they did with the molten calf. That was directly for an Elohim. They wanted an Elohim to lead them, but it was like almost an effigy of Moshe. That's why Yahuwah says to Moshe, get thee down from here. The people that you brought out of Mitzrayim have so quickly, you know, fallen away, you know, rebelled, you know. And then Moses is saying, no, remember the people who you brought out. It's an interesting scene there. But one may ask, well, why does Yahuwah say that Moses is the one who brought them out? Where elsewhere it says that Yahuwah Eloheinu brought them out, right? It's because of what the molten calf truly symbolized. Note the language in Exodus 20:23. Exodus chapter 20, verse 23, it says, y'all shall not make with me. Remember, it's Yahuwah speaking to Moshe to speak to the people. Since they wanted a mediator, they got a mediator. So Yahuwah speaks to Moshe, and Moshe speaks to the people, right? What is he to say? Y'all, you all of y'all, shall not make with me, right? Moses speaking on behalf of Yahuwah, speaking of he who be, who he be, gods of silver. The molten calf, what was the primary metal that the narrative says was used? It was gold. Let's read on. Neither shall y'all make to you. What do the people say in Exodus chapter 32? All right. Make us gods. Us. It was all about them. All right. Interesting that them in Amharic also means blood, as dam means blood in Hebrew. But Yahuwah says, y'all shall not make to you Elohei Zahab. So when we saw this nuance there and we checked out the Hebrew and we say, well, it's right and accurate, not make with me, with he who be, we be, with Yahuwah Eloheinu, Elohei Kesef, gods of silver. Neither shall y'all make to you all, gods of gold, Elohei Zahab. Let's go here, since we're in Exodus right here, so we can understand what this 40 days, the 40 days of Teshuvah, leading up to the high Isla days, holy days, you know, of the Yom Teruah, the day of the blast of trumpets, 10 days, the 10 days of awe. That's the final 10 days of those 40 days leading up to Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonements, the day of the coverings. Here in Exodus chapter 32, we have the broken Torah. They broke the Torah. They broke the covenant by what they did right here in Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down out of the mount, Now it's about Mount Sinai. As Hebrew says, we're not coming again to a mount that can be touched and to all that already was, but we're coming to Zion. So it's giving a contrast between them of the Brit HaYeshana of the Old Covenant and those of the Brit Chadasha. So when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aharon and said to him, up, make us Elohim, gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moshe, Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the Tawi, we wot not what is become of him. So see, that one verse right there, properly understood. Notice they did not say the Hashem. They didn't even speak the Hashem. They didn't say Yahweh. They didn't say that at all. And the context of what they're saying directly is implicating Moses. This now explains when Yahweh said to Moshe, you know, get thee down, you know, for the people. You know, what did he say? For the people. Let's go further right here. And Yahuwah says right here, and in verse 7, and Yahuwah said to Moshe, go, get thee down, for thy people, your people, Amecha, right, that thou, the I, Moses, broughtest out of the land of Mitzrayim, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf. Does it say they've made a golden calf? What does Yahuwah say? They have made a molten calf, not a golden, a molten calf, and have worshipped it and have sacrificed it too, and said, these be thy gods, O Yisrael, that have brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim. And Yahuwah said to Moshe, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, this is so interesting, and this was said to Moshe, with his Midianite and Ethiopian connection. Can one see even a foreshadowing of the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews right there, right? When Yahweh said to Moshe, he will make a great nation of Moses. So Moses has his Midianite wife and his Ethiopian wife. Yes. Then Moses advocates. He advocates. He goes to court, right? He pleads. And Moses besought Yahweh Elohayo. Notice when the text says that Moses besought Yahweh Jehovah Elohayo. Right, Elohav, modern Hebrew Elohav, African Shemitic pointing, ancient pointing, Elohayo, his Elohim. Note that there. Just check that. And said, Yahweh, why doth thy wrath wax hot? Why are you about to go ham, heated against thy people, Amekah? Notice Yahweh said to Moshe, thy people. This is your people. Moses said to Yahweh, thy people. That thou, speaking to Yahuwah, has brought forth out of the land of Mitzrayim with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore, notice Moses' argument here, wherefore should the Mitzrayim, should the Tawians, the Kemeshians, right, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent. Now, I know a lot of people make a big thing out of this. What sense of repent is this word right here? Even when it says he repented that he made the people, that word is naham. It's not the same as teshuvah. It's naham is like to sigh, like to almost like to ease yourself, but to sigh, to comfort. And to comfort, he comforted himself. Here it says, Moses says, and repent of this evil against thy people. He says, remember Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. Remember the Hebrew patriarchal trinity. Remember Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, thy servants, to whom thou, the I, swearest by thine own self. Now, how deep is this right here? To swear in the Hebrew sense is to seven yourself. To seven yourself. You know, somebody says they cross their heart. Well, imagine you do that like seven times, so to speak. He sevented himself, right? But notice he says, swearest by thine own self, by thine own self, and saidest to them. This is Moses advocating, right, on behalf, right, of, we could say, the guilty people, you know, who are in a very limbo state right here. They're about to come into this 40-day state right here that matches this 40 days leading forward to Yom HaKippurim. And saidest to them, I will multiply your seed. He said to the Hebrew patriarchs, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, I will multiply your seed, your zer, your race, as the stars, the kokaveh shemayim, the stars of the heavens. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. The Hebrew sense of forever to time indefinite. And Yahuwah repented of the evil he thought to do Amo, that he thought to do his people. And then Moses, he comes down from the mount right there. So this time, right? And to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, the Brit Chadasha, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, than that of Abel, right? See, remember we had the Torah, previous 47th Torah portion, see that y'all refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from Shemayim, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. I don't know. I just got a premonition. We're going to see if, you know, we who live to see, going to see some amazing things. Verse 27, and this word, yet once more, it signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom, a malkut, a government, a kingdom which cannot be moved, make us have grace whereby we may serve Elohim, the Almighty Power, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Last verse here. For our Elohim, Eish Okla, is a consuming, a eating, a consuming fire. Yes, I. So here, this period of time that we are in, the sages rightly liken it to the 40 days, right? These 40 days, the number of days it takes also for a human fetus to be formed within the womb. Did you know that it takes approximately 40 days, right? Is the number of days it takes for the human fetus to be formed in the matrix of its mother. So here, the season of Teshuva, the season of repentance, these 40 days, looking forward to the Yom Teruah, the day of the blast, of the blowing of the ram's horn, corresponding to the Rosh Hashanah, to the Judaic New Year. The civil new year, more when we get down to like governmental business, right? Friday, looking forward here in this season, 2023, September 15th this year. It's interesting because of the correspondence that we have with Ethiopia, Kingdom of God. Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, New Year, also September 11th, on leap years, September 12th. So we have the Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Baraka. Pointing that out just once again right here in this time, in this season. Let's get the ram's horn ready, ready, ready. Going to ride up with the Haftarah, the Brit Chadasha, for this 49th degree. But just to put this into better context for the disciples, you know, fellow disciples and students, yes, I. The simplified Baraka can be recited to ask Yahweh to help you and me, I, and we attune yourself and ourselves for this month, this season, this time, and for the 40 days of the season of Teshuvah, season of repentance, making that turn from the straightway to Yahweh, right, as well as the change of mind. So the word Teshuvah and repentance also has a sense of thinking different, right, from the ways of the world, flesh, satanic system of things to Yahweh, truth and life. And the Baraka, the blessing goes a little something like this in the Hebrew. For this month, this time, the new moon, the new month. Yehi ratzon milfaneka Yahweh Eloheinu, Velohei Aboteinu, Shete Hadesh Aleinu, Hadesh Tov, Ba Adoneinu Yeshua, Ha Mashiach, Amen. May it be your will. Yehi ratzon, may it be your will. Interesting, the Hebrew sense, yehi ratzon milafaneka. Let it be the will from your face, from your presence. So the Hebrew really of this baraka for the new moon, the new month, and it, particularly this season, is not just may it be your will, but yehi ratzon milafaneka. Milfanecha, milfaneka, from your fanai, from your face, from your presence. May the will from your presence, may it be the will from your face. Yahuwah Eloheinu, he who be, who he be, our almighty power, our Elohim, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Velohei Avoteinu, and the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of our patriarchs, Velohei Avoteinu, Shete Chadesh Aleinu, that you renew for us, that you renew for I and I, Chadesh Tov, Chadesh Tov, Chadesh new Tov, good, a good new. Now, that's the literal sense of the Hebrew, but the Chadesh from Chadash means like to new or to make new, to renew. So the new month is referring to that new cycle where the moon is renewing. So it's called the Chodesh, right? The new month is the Chodesh, or like the new. Chodesh Tov, good. Badoneinu, the good Tov. Badoneinu, in Adon, in our Adon, our Adonai, Badoneinu. And Adonai nu, that new part at the end is like our Adonai nu, our Anu, our Adonai, Yeshua, Yeshua, Ha Mashiach, Amen. That you renew for us a good renewing, a good month, in our Master, our Sovereign, Yeshua the Messiah, Amen. And here, this brings us here, when the last Sabbaths of the year right here, to the blowing of the shofar. Remember in Revelation and in other parts of the Gospels, even as it is prophetically interpreted, you know, the trumpet and the blast of the trumpet could be the first shofar, might as well be the last. This is the true scriptural glory of His Majesty, Kadamawi Haile Selassie context. It says, for my part, I glory. Yes, in the Holy Scriptures, blowing of the shofar. So beginning with the Rosh Chodesh Elul, or the new month, the sixth moon, and continuing until the day before Rosh Hashanah. So this continues to the eve, right? You know, continuing forward, right, to the eve of the Yom Teruah. It is customary to blow the ram's horn, known as the shofar. It is said every day except for the Shabbat day. This practice was adopted, right, by the ancients, going back even to the, we have this even in the first century time of the Moshiach, many of this order, this pattern, pattern recognition is important. This practice was adopted to help I and I awaken to the coming of the high holy days as a kind of a reminder by hearing that shofar, right? Know that like that first trumpet, you get the sense of it, could be the first trumpet, might as well be the last. That whole sense of the trumpet, it's a signal, it's alarm, it's a warning, it's a preparation here for the holy seasons to come. So this custom is first to blow the tekiah, the tekiah. What's the tekiah? The tekiah is a long single blast. That first sound of the shofar, the tekiah, the long single blast, is the sound of the Melech's coronation, of the Negus, even Negus and Neges, his coronation. So the first, each part of the blast has a significance. The first part of the blowing of the shofar, the tekiah, that long single blast, is the sound of the king's coronation. Yahuwah Melech Malak Yimlok, he is king, he has been coronated, he rules and reigns as king. Then the next part of the shofar blast is known as the Shevarim. The Shebarim. What is the Shebarim? The Shebarim are three short wailers. The three short wailers, the Shebarim. Now, literally in the Hebrew, Shebarim is breakers. Shebar means to break. So the Shebarim is like the breakers. These three short wail-like blasts. This signifies repentance. Even in Revelation, there's a scene where it talks about the three angels blowing like a trumpet, right? This is the link right here, even within the prophetic archetype. Three short wail-like blasts signifying teshuvah, signifying repentance, change of mind, turning from the stray way, doing that 180. This is followed by teruah, teruah. Now, the day of the trumpets is known as Yom Teruah, teruah. What is a teruah? A teruah, here the teruah are several short blasts of alarm. So teruah is like an alarm, right? And the teruah here in the shofar blast is several short blasts of alarm. This here in the time, the season of repentance, is to awaken ha-nefesh. You got to awaken her. Tell her to wake up. Awaken her. Who's her? The soul, the psyche. The soul, the psyche, is she, whether in male or female, according to the principles of the Torah and of our linguistics and language, just so you know. So we have the teruah, several short-like blasts of alarm to awaken ha-nefesh, the soul. The season is known as the cheshbon ha-nefesh, the accounting, the reckoning of the soul. And to close, the seal-up is the tekiah ha-gadol. Tekiah, kiah, the tekiah. Remember, it began off with the tekiah, that long single blast, the sound of the king's coronation. So it seals up the shofar. It seals up with the tekiah ha-gadol, right? Tekiah, the long single, the great long single blast, a long and a final blast. So ring the alarm. Wake up.
Yeah!
my advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
So right here, just a little more, and we're going to segue here into the Haftarah, the prophet's reading right here, stretching forth the right hand of fellowship, Ty and I co-labors, the Chabarim, Taras Ahad, Taras Ayasin, Tefarai, Ras Baruchu, you know, and all the Chabarim, all the brothers and sisters, you know, that support, you know, in the great ways and the small ways, all in Yahweh, truth and life. So here about to write out the Haftarah, but it's to bring out the significance here as per the season of the prophet's reading, the reading from the prophet's book. So we have the last Shabbats of the year, We went through the year, as we mentioned earlier, speaking from the first month, the April-May season, first month, and then we come to the seventh month, right? And the final of the seven feasts and festivals appointed in the covenant, right, to Yahshua, to Yisrael by Yahuwah through the mediation of Moshe. Here we seal up right here, the last Sabbaths of the year. So the weekly Haftarah, right, the Haftarah portion is a reading from the prophets, the Navim or the Nabim, is usually thematically according to the theme, right, The theme is connected with the weekly Torah portion reading. That's what usually in the principle throughout the Shemester, the prophet's reading, which is called the Haftarah, the second of the three readings that we read and study sabbatically speaking, the Haftarah is the reading from the prophets, and that is usually set according to the theme of the weekly Torah portion. So you'll find that between the Torah portion reading and in the Haftarah of the prophet's reading, there is an underlying connection or theme. However, beginning with the fast of the fourth month until the end, right, of the Hebrew, the holy part, the covenant, you know, the feast and festival part of the year, but the year nonetheless, right, the connection, it changes. First, we always read three prophetic portions of rebuke when we come into the season, leading up to the fast of the Tisha B'Av, right? The Tisha, the ninth of the Father, as it's known in the later days, but the ninth of the fifth month. So beginning from the fourth month, going into the ninth of the fifth month, because the Tisha B'Av, it commemorates the destruction, the first and the second destructions of the temple. Solomon's temple destroyed on the ninth of the fifth month, the month of Av, Father, and also the temple in Jerusalem, ironically speaking, was also destroyed in 70 AD on that very time. And then we have some things that happened to the commandment keepers, which also correspond to the Tisha B'Av. Now, following the Tisha B'Av, and for the next 7 weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah, which according to the Torah is the Yom Teruah, the fifth of the seven feasts and festivals, beginning the third season, third and final season, the New Year's season, we read selections of comfort. Selections of comfort. Naham, naham. That foretell. Remember, this is the same word when it says that Yahuwah repented, right? And repented him that he had made man, right? In Bereshit. The word there is the same word for comfort. He comforted himself. He sighed. He eased himself, right? Naham, that foretell of the future redemption of Jah people, of the Beta Israel, right? Of Ayanai people, of Yah people, and the coming messianic age and the coming of the times of the Messiah. Now, there are 7 weeks of comfort. Now, what's interesting about this whole seven patterns, for those, you know, that can see and recognize the significance according to what is commanded and what is bidden us, as Yeshua HaNotri said, all things that, you know, the way he said, the scribes and Pharisees, that they bid you observe, right, but don't do after their works. So the seven, could they say one thing and do something else? So the 7 weeks of comfort, it began off with Nahamu, Nahamu, Ami. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 26, the key word, Nahamu. comfort y'all, Nahamu. Comfort y'all, Ami, my people. The second of the seven Shabuot or Sabbaths of comfort, Vatomer Sion, Vatomer. And she sang Sion, Zion. And Zion said, but Zion said, we have Yeshaya, Isaiah. We'll also note that all of these come from Yeshaya, from Esaias, right, or Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 to chapter 51, verse 3. And in the third of the 7 weeks of comfort, we have Ania, Ania Soara, Ania Soara, oh afflicted, Ania Soara, and storm tossed from Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 51, speak up, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 11 to 55, verse 5. Ania Soara, O afflicted and storm tossed, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 11 to 55 and 5. Now, in the previous Shabua, what do we have? We had Anoki, Anoki, who? Anoki, I, Anoki, I, who? I, he, I, even I am he. Anoki, Anoki, who? I, even I, he. From Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 51, verses 12 to chapter 52, verse 12. Now for this Shabbat right here, for the Shabbat Ki Teitzei, right? We have Rani Akara, Rani Akara, Rani Akara, Rani sing, speaking to she, Rani sing, Akara. O barren one, sing, O barren one, Rani Akara, from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to verse 10. And then we have two more, my weeks of comfort before we come to the Yom Teruah, a.k.a. Rosh Hashanah time and season. So in this year, this season, September 15th, and then we also have, you know, the September 11th season. See how closely these are related, right? We have Kumi Ori, Kumi Ori, Kumi, speaking to she, Kumi, speaking to a woman or speaking to she, saying to rise, like get up, Kumi, 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 Kumi Ori, Kumi Ori, shine, like shine, rise, shine. Rise, shine, give Yah the glory, glory. Kumi Uri. From Yeshaya, Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 22. And then for the seven of the seven Shabbats of comfort, we have Sos Asis. Sos Asis. Sos Asis. I will greatly rejoice. Sos Asis. Like almost like rejoicing, I will rejoice. Sometimes the words are repeated, you know, for real, for real. You know how we do that? Like it's good, good, for real, you know what I mean? So in the Hebrew sense, it also has that pattern. It's how we know we're that people. Even in English, we sometimes double over a word. When we look at Hebrew, sometimes we find that same sense within the Hebrew. So rejoicing, a cease. I will rejoice. Rejoicing, I'll rejoice. So I'll rejoice. The rejoicing. So the rejoicing, I'm going to rejoice. King James brings out the translation, another translation says, I will greatly, though the word great is not there, I will greatly rejoice. Rejoicing, I'll rejoice. I'll rejoice the rejoicing. Isaiah, Yeshaya, chapter 61, verses 10 to chapter 63, verse 9. So we have the Rani, Rani. Akara, Rani Akara, sing Akara, Akara, Akara. Akara is like, Akara is like a woman who hasn't given birth, one might say barren. Here, she's being commanded to sing. The power of word sound, power. So the Haftarah coming forward here for Parashat Ki Teitzei, is Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to 10. This is the fifth of the seven readings from the prophets that are consecutively read before Yom Teruah, for the beginning of autumnal ingathering season, and before Rosh Hashanah. These are called Haftarot of comfort, the Haftarahs of Naham. Right? They foretell of the restoration of Jah people and the coming of the age of the Messiah, like the Adis Zemin. In this Shavua, this reading here, Yahuwah compares the Bnei Yisrael. Here, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, are being compared by Yahuwah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name. He's comparing the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, to a wife. He's comparing the sons of Israel, the Bnei Yisrael, to a Isha, a Eshet, or Oset, who has long been barren. Now, according to the ancient sages, Ha'el, the Almighty, tells the, quote, wife of his youth, end quote, to sing out with joy, Rani Akara, sing out with joy, for soon she will have a hard time, a very hard time keeping track of all her children, all of her children, all of her children. Many, 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 nuff will return by means of a mighty wave of teshuva, a mighty wave of people beginning to think different, come out of the ways of the world, flesh, and satanic sakura, and thinking in Yahweh, truth, and life, that will sweep over the world and this earthly plane when Yerushalayim, when Amor Yisrael, to say Jerusalem is not the place, but it's the people, be finally redeemed. And the Moshiach, the Messiah, reigns in Yasharallah, reigns in the hearts and the minds of called Yisrael. Though Yahuwah, Jehovah, hardened Yisrael. Did you know? He hardened Yasharallah for a season. And what's the reason? Well, the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 25, verses 25 to 29. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there. All right. Not good enough just to, oh, it's over there in that book, and don't read that book. You know? Then when we're asked those questions, we may not be able to give a full answer because we didn't do due diligence, right, in our study to show we self-approve. So here, Romans, Epistle to Romans, chapter 11, verses 25-29. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant, not knowing of this mystere, this mystatir, this mystery, lest y'all should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, partial blindness, is happened to Yasharallah, is happened to Yisrael, until the fullness of the nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles, be come in." That's verse 25, Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11. Here at verse 26, Yisrael, Israel, is yet to be saved nationally. So what we have is salvation more on the individual, indivisible, dual level, the individual level. But there's a salvation for call Yisrael. Here, verse 26. "And so all Yasharallah, Yisrael, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Redeemer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Yaakov." This reminds me of truly one of the first proclaimers of Rastafari, Kedemawi Hada Selassie, even before the voice crying in the wilderness, Reverend James Morris Webb, when he said, "Look to Africa where a black male be crowned king, In him you'll find the Redeemer. There shall come out of the kinsman Redeemer, check. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins, their uckeries, their forfeitures, falling short, their lacks. As concerning the gospel or the good news, they are enemies for your sakes. So even with others, some other Israelites, you know, because of that good news of the King of Kings, right? Royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. Ethiopian man was born there. Because of that good news, right? Even some of our fellow Israelites, they are adversarial on these particular points. And therefore, as Rabbi Shaul said, they are enemies for y'all and I sakes. As concerning the good news, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved. They are beloved for the Father's sake, for our collective patriarch's sake. Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of Elohim are without repentance. That's an interesting verse right there. He gives us gifts and calling. Sometimes we have gifts and calling that he has given, right? Even to us, even when we were unrepentant, right? But what a day when we think different and we can apply those, you know, that gift and that calling. So right here, we have Yahuwah hardening Yisrael for a season. Romans chapter 11, verses 25, 29. His love for her. Now, it's interesting. Sometimes in the scripts, Israel is spoken to as a son. Other times, Yisrael is spoken to as a woman, Alma as a wife. You know what I mean? When they say, well, who's the wife of God? And they talk about all this crazy talk. According to the Torah, it would seem to be Israel, you know, but there was some problems in that marriage because of Yisrael breaking that covenant. His love for her is sure, and all his promises, his yea, yea, his amen, amen, will be established. In the end of days, or the last days, the end time. What do you mean by the end of days, the last times? We're talking about the end of the times of the Gentiles, the end of the times of the present nation states. There's lots that's on the horizon. Heal up, Chaplain, Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, duly elected. My brother just vibes in Ras Seymour, like Bird. You know, we're just reasoning, you know, on these very same things about the BRICS. What's going on with BRICS? And they say Ethiopia is joining the BRICS. It's a brick, dun, 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 house. Wow. The end of days are the last days of this white Anglo-Saxon Protestant system. So you hear a lot about, oh, the New World Order is coming, New World Order, New World Order. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to try a thing that they're not going to be able to fulfill. You know what I mean? Take to them a long time to do what they're even trying to do even right now. Right? You know? But really what they're trying to do is repair the New World Order that they established back in 76. You know, it's some deflection they're doing, right? That's what we have to see at Yahweh. The end of the days, these days and times that have been going on for some time of the other nations, even ruling over, right, Yisrael and even other nations. But in the end of days, the days of Babylon, the system of things are definitely numbered. Call Yisrael. All of Yisrael will be saved. In times, quote, like the days of Noah. Remember the days of Noah? Like the days of Noah. And I'm talking about a flood right now. We're talking about fire. Fire. It's interesting. There's been some incidences, you know, on the earth, which shows there's a lot, the earth is packing a whole lot of fire. Even under the water, there's fire. How hot can that be? As in the days of Noah. But just as Ha'el, the Almighty, swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so he has sworn that Israel will be gathered, ingathered, and restored. So this is all leading us to the ingathering here in the season as we come to the end of the year. So here, picking up with Yeshaya, Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 51, just the first verse right here, right? Rani akra lo yalada pitzachia rina w'ahli lo hala ki rabim b'nei shomema mi b'nei belua be'ula mi b'nei be'ula amar Yahuwah. Ani lechozir. I repeat. Rani akra lo yalada pitzachia rina with ahliya loa hala kia rabima bineya shomeima mi bineya beula amar Yahuwah. Sing, O barren one, rani akara, who did not bear, lo yalada, who did not bring forth like a child, lo yalada, pitzchi, is like to break forth, pitzchi, speaking to she, pitzchi, rina, like break forth into rina, into singing and shrilling and joyful tones. Pitzachi rina ahli with ahli and cry out with ahli lo hala you who have not been in labor. You who have not been in labor. Lo hala ki rabin, ki for rabin, for nuf, rabin, right? Rabin b'nei shomema. For the children of the desolate will be nuf, rabin. For nuf, the children shomema, the sons of the desolate, like woman, the desolate one, will be rabin, ki rabin b'nei. B'nei shomeima, mi b'nei be'ula, mi b'nei, from the sons of the be'ula, be'ula. Be'ula is like a married woman, be'ula. Almost like in English they call it Beulah. You heard of Beulah, right? Beulah, that's the be'ula, be'ula. Amar saith Yahuwah, saith he who be. Who he be. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, looking forward to the Yom Teruah, a.k.a. Rosh Hashanah, that will begin in about a little less than three weeks in this 2023 season, Friday, September 15th at sundown. During this time, this Iowa leading up to the high holy days, the autumnal festival season, the Sukkot ingathering season, is customary to engage in the Cheshbon HaNefesh, called soul searching, soul reckoning for the soul, the psyche, Cheshbon HaNefesh, and to derive Naham, comfort, right? That Elohim is forgiving. Elohim Ha'av. Hashem Yeshua is forgiving and loving to those who sincerely, in spirit and in truth, turn to him. Many of the Yehudi sages, they had chosen the seven haftarot of comfort to encourage us, to encourage I and I, to make I and I hearts ready for the upcoming high holy season right here. So I know that was a little full of full right there, brothers and sisters. But just so that we can see the context, you know, and we can grow in grace and that knowledge. So time to purify I and I hearts, heart to cup. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brita Chadasha Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher bachar b'nebiim tobim v'ratzah b'debreihim ha'ne'amarim ba'emet. Baruch atah Adonai Habocher b'torah ובמשה עבדו, ובישראל עמו, ובנביאי האמת והצדק. Blessed art thou, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art thou, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yahweh, Buruku. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, Yahweh Zabaoth is his name, Buruku. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Kedushan, the Elohim of the whole earth, shall he be called. For Yahweh have called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth. When thou wast refused, saith thy Elohim, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains, the Tararoch, shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yahweh Buruku, that have mercy on thee. O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay the foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of a gates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh Buruku, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals, and the issop, and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that shall arise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, Buruhu, he who be who he be. And their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh, Buruhu. Chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, Shema, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run to thee because of Yahweh that Elohim Buruku, and for the Holy One of Israel, the Kedush An, for he hath glorified thee. Amen. Glory to him, word, sound, and power. Ja Rastafari Ketamali Haile Selassie Negus Negetha Ethiopia. Let every king that hath breath give praise to the Most High. Ja Rastafari Besem Yeshua. Amen.
With all them, with all big enough, there is not enough time. How can society cut out this spiritual concept within us? It is a spiritual birth which no eyes can see. The place where you dig up black man from, carry him back there.
And you should ask I and I would have said the people, let me get cards up and about the cards of the glitter. And the whole thing. I'm excited.
I love and show all, I glory all the King we represent. If it's in you happy, keep it. Just the real and not the fake. No doubt. I devotion and fire break the evil conspire on a path. Judgments of one another. I don't wait. I most I please be with my attitude. Show I the patience and gratitude. I keep it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, I unite with baby. I love and show all. I glory of the king we represent. If it's not easy, yes, to be a man of fancy. No, I yes, I unite with baby. I love and show all. I glory of the king we represent. If it's not easy,
stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu, Moshiach Yeshua, Wehabarot, Shel Habarik Ha Hadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai, Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadish Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 49. Ki Teitze, When You Go Forth. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 through 30, and 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, V'Habein, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Kaf Zain, verse 28, Kaf Chet. Shemaitem ki ne'emar la rishonim lo tina, wa ani omer lakem, kol hamistakel beisha lachmod ota. Naof ne'afwa b'libo. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Corinthians chapter 5, part 3, immorality rebuked, discipline enjoined. Verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Beit. Hakol nishma bekol makom shezunut benekem uznut asher ein kmoha bagoyim ad sheyikach ish et eshet abiyu. ואתם מתקיים תחת אשר תתאבלו להסיר מקרפקם עושה המעשה הזה. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Indifference to evil in the church, the result of divisions. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed, in the name of Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in my spirit, with the power of Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of HaAdon Yeshua, in the day of the Lord Jesus. Kabor Lakalu, Kabor Ladimtu, Kabor Lakhailu, Kabor Lakedamawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos.
You have clean hands and a pure ורחם את אדוני וצדקה מאלוהי ישעו. זה דור דורשיו מבקש פניך יעקב סל. שאו שערים רעשכם והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשכם ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות הוא מלך הכבוד. סלע, 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 סלע.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi. Inflasya!
The whole place is due for
gonna stop till the battle is won and we get justice. Cause if you lose your stand, anyone will try to push you over, over and over.
and they worry. They endure for a night, for joy cometh in the morning. And if you lose your soul, there's nothing to gain, it will be over.
You
Whoa.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Lamilhamma al oibeka una tano untano Yahuwah loheka bi yadeka we shabita shibuyo ki teisea lamilhamma al oibeka una tano Yahuwah loheka bi yadeka we shabita shibuyo. When thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies, and the Yahweh Eloheka, thy Elohim, deliverest them into thy hand, and thou carriest them away captive, ki tis'eya lamilhamma al oibeka unatano Yahweh Eloheka biyadeka we shabita shibuyo. First words, Hebrew first words for this 49th weekly Torah portion reading and feeding in our annual Rastafari sabbatical study. So this sabbatical strong. Ki teis a, ki teis a ya, lam milhamma, when thou goest forth to battle, when thou goest forth to battle. Ki teis a ya, lam milhamma. The text here refers to a war other than against the peoples of the Canaan. The text here refers to a war and warfare and the rules of engagement for warfare with those other than against the peoples of Canaan. Now, this is a continuation, actually, of chapter 20 of the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book of Deuteronomy, the Sefer Devarim. So Deuteronomy chapter 20 and 19, here we have a continuation of the text and of the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement, we could call it the war laws, the wars of Yahuwah, the Yahweh laws, dealing with the manner of waging war.
which was interrupted by the institution of breaking the heifer's neck. So the text, the war text, we have an interruption of the war laws for this very important, seemingly. Some would say, well, why does this text of the heifer and the breaking of the heifer's neck interrupt the continuation of the war laws? Now, first things first, let's get a context here. Once again, ki teitse lamilchama, when thou goest forth to battle. The text is referring to a war, or any war according to the type, other than against the peoples of the Kanaan, because the seven nations of Kanaan, there was to be no shalom, no peace, but an extermination ord, according to the Torah, according to the text, according to the study tree. And now we're going to ask ourselves, why is this? Why is there a difference? Why are we given separate rules of engagement for other peoples except those seven nations? Those seven nations, Jah already gave the extermination ord. Right? There'd be no peace, total extermination for these seven. And what does the seven signify in the Brit Chadash, in the Hadith Kiddush, in the New Covenant? What do these seven signify? Now, the number seven, very interesting. Some say that's a God number, a spiritual number, a divine number. The science of the number seven is important here, especially in the context concerning, as the text says furthermore, Al-Oibeika, Al-Oibeika, against Al-Oibeika. Oibe, oibe, oibeka, against thine enemies, when thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies. Ki te tsea la milhama al oibeka. Now, since the text here continues from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19, let's do a reference to chapter 20, verse 19, and let's see where it ends right here. Right, verse 19, it says, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by wielding an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, but thou shalt not cut them down, for it is the tree of the field, man. For it is the tree of the field, man, that it should be besieged of thee. For it is the tree of the field, man, that it should be besieged. Now see, here's in the Chumash. This is what we have in the Chumash. In the Chumash, that is the translation of which, no doubt, if you're looking at the KJV, the standard KJV, King James Version, and we look at this corresponding text in the KJV translation, in the old, you could say, sacred English translation of chapter 20, verse 19, the reading would be, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. Now here in the KJV and other Bibles, you might see a parenthetical, open parentheses, for the tree of the field is man's life, close parenthesis, to employ them in the siege. So here, it's now touching on the tree, man's life. There's another verse before the discontinuation, the ending of the chapter, chapter 20 of Zadagim of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. Now, here, we pick up with 21 and 10. And the text here is a continuation, right, of the war laws, right, that are given to Israel, the rules of engagement that are for nations other than the seven nations of Canaan. There are specific war laws, or we say the war ord. There's a specific war ord that's given against the seven. Now, it's interesting, the seven, looking at the seven nations of Canaan, the seven heads on the dragon, you know, this seven, right, within the scriptures, right, returning to that, make a note of the seven, right, and also review the broadcast on this platform here, especially the Woman's Wednesday, Sister Mariama Tanay, and going into the numbers and going into the seven, scripturally, biblically speaking. So it's very important to understand those seven, especially as we look at the seven nations of Canaan, according to the Brit Yeshana, the old covenant. And then when we now go to that new and living way that he has consecrated for us through my, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. My, speaking of our black Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMoshiach. So, seeing that the Old Testament, right, according to the words of Moshiach and the revelation of the New Covenant, the Old Testament was a shadow, right, the shadow. In the New Covenant, we have the fullness of what the shadow, right, was projected from. You know, like when someone has a shadow. You see a shadow, the shadow is being reflected off of the true substance. So we're going to look at the shadow first and looking at the Old Testament scripture and then trace it, right, in the Moshiach, in Yeshua, in the Word, in the Spirit of Truth. Right, that's what we say, grab your pen, your paper, your sacred scripture, B-I-B-L-E, right, and bring a willing and a repentive heart and mind. That's the key. That's the key. Right? You must be born again. Right? Have a change, a metanoia, a change of mind. When we just look at it, we say, okay, this is war laws. We can understand it like that, according to the natural. Right? But we need to understand it according to the first type, because the first things are the natural, the earthly things. As Moshiach Rabboni said, if I've shown you earthly things, then you do not comprehend it. How will you be able to comprehend the heavenly things? Right? If I show you natural things and you don't comprehend it, how will you be able to understand the spiritual things? Our, amen. It's the next verse right here in 20:20. It says, only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat or for food, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. And thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. Those are very important instructions. Most will gloss over it. Not I and I. Not the followers and disciples of the King of Kings Christ of His Majesty Moshiach. We're going to study to show ourselves approved. Because what we're seeing is a type and a type. Right? A type and a type. Remember, there's two classes, we could say, of enemies. They are those of the seven nations. Right? And specific war ordinance against the seven nations of the Canaan. And then we have other nations. Right? And other peoples. Right? And here is where the continuation, right, here's where this detail is very, very important. Now, even here, as we link with the continuation, where we're continuing Kitei Tse, in Deuteronomy 21 and 10 is a continuation from 20 and 19, and then we have this little interlude concerning the breaking of the heifer's neck. But even before that there, which begins in chapter 21, the first part of chapter 21, the first, we could say, nine or so verses, we have two verses right here. And it's concerning two different kinds of trees. I found that to be interesting. Have you noticed that? The two different kinds of trees, right? There's one tree that is a fruit-bearing tree. And then there's the other tree, which is fruitless and not fruit-bearing tree, but may be utilized in the siege against those cities, right, that will not accept the terms of shalom, our terms of shalom, because the first thing we proclaim is shalom, right, the gospel, the good news, the gospel of peace. And so Moshiach Yeshua said, think not that I've come to, the peace, what kind of peace? So let's connect that as well, where we see where the proclamation, right, of the Tzavaot of Israel, of the army, the Tzava of Israel is promote what? Proclaim what? What's the first thing to proclaim? Shalom. Right, what is the gospel? The gospel is gospel of peace. Behold our beautiful other feet, right, from the mountain, the one who proclaims the good tidings of peace, that proclaims shalom. Right, so they refuse that shalom, then it's war. Right, so we have these war ordinances, and we have to study these war ordinances, firstly and foremostly, in the context of the Old Testament type. How was it then? Right, because see, when we recognize how was it then, and with the spirit and the truth and that born-again heart and mind and taking the time to enjoy and to see it from Jah's view. What is Jah's view? What was the instructions he was instructing the children of Israel to do? Right? And why were these instructions so instructed likewise? Right? That's the first thing. Did the children of Israel do it? Right? We learn from the object lessons here because all the scripture was written, right, for our instruction, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Right, so right here, there's these two types of trees, which is very interesting, right? The two types of trees. Now, of course, I'm making an overt allusion to the Canaanites, right? Chop down, cut down, you may destroy them, right? But here, with the trees, it's permissive according to the Bible. But here's also a sign, as well, a sign. Think about the parables, right, of Moshiach Yeshua, right? The parables of the tree, the parables of the good man, the land, the seed, planted. How about the parable of that tree? Right, that was planted in good soil but did not bring forth fruit. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to look at that as well. Let's make notes of that. So here as we go through a first reasonment. It's a kind of first word reasonment right here. In fact, let us look into this a little bit more. As we know, this Torah portion, the 49th weekly Torah portion, here we have Ki Tse'a, Ki Tse'a. Ki Tse'a Lam Milchama Al Oibeka, when thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies. So we got to identify the Oibe, right? The Oib. Right? Who are the Oibs? Right? Who are the Oibs here? The Oibeka. Who are the Oibes? Right? Who is Oibeka? Who is your enemy? Right? Who are the enemies? Right? Who are our enemies here? According to the Torah, right? In the text, in the context of the text, who are the enemies being spoken of? As I said, the text here refers to a war other than against the peoples of Canaan, other than against the seven nations of Canaan. It's almost like saying the war that we have, right, the spiritual warfare, other than the seven heads on the dragon, right, the seven heads on the dragon, other than those seven. You know what I'm saying? Other than. Now, let's look at where the text picks up from. This is a continuation of Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19. That's dealing with the manner or how the rules of engagement of waging Jah's wars, the wars of Yahuwah, of the Yahweh, of Jehovah, which was interrupted by the institution of the breaking of the heifer's neck. And that was concerning the inquest for the slain, you know, a murdered person. Right, what was to be done to avoid the guilt, right? That guilt and the adverse effect on the land. Those things that pollute, it says that the blood pollutes the land. The bloodshed of the innocent pollutes the land. Right? Now, that's not the only text that interrupts, but what's connected with that breaking off there, before we get to the end of chapter 20, beginning chapter 21, where we are right here, we're at 21 and 10, for this 49th key text, say, when thou goest forth, going forth, the context is going forth to battle against who? The Oibe, Oibeka, against thy male enemy. But now let's pick up right here with chapter 20, so we can get the connective here. Right? In chapter 20, verse 1 says, when thou goest forth, let's bring this up, it says, when thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and the people more than thou, more than the eye, be not afraid of them, for the Yahweh, thy Elohim, Eloheka, is with the eye, which brought thee eye up out of the land of Egypt. Now, it's interesting, because we look at the language, it says, Ki Tse'a, La Milchama. Very same words we have here. Ki Tse'a, Ki Tse'a, La Milchama. When thou goest forth to battle, Al Oibeka, against your enemies. Very same words. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. We have these same 5 words that begin off this 49th sabbatical Torah portion here. Ki Tse'a. The same opening words. Ki Tse'a. Ki Tse'a. Same words. Ki Tse'a Lam Milchama. Al Oibeka. Against that Oibeka. Oibeka against your male enemies. Now, before the raid here in Chumash, some of the Chabarim have maybe touched on this. Let's get this into the reasoning here and the testimonial raid here for this 49th. When thou goest forth to battle, Ki Tse'a Lam Milchama Al Oibeka. The subject of making war immediately follows that dealing with compensation for the loss of a limb, to intimate that seriously disabled men, a seriously disabled man, right, men are exempt from military service, from service in the Tzava'ah, the Tzava, right, the Tzava'ah, the Tzava'ot, the Saba'ot, the host. It is to be connected with thine eye shall not pity. Where do we have that? We have that, right? We have that within the scripture, right? Thine eye shall not pity. All who are under obligation to serve must be compelled to do so. All who are under obligation to serve. That means thine eye. I shall have a new name, precious name, new name, Jah Rastafari, right? A new name. So we carry that name. There's an obligation that comes with carrying that name, right? And thine eye
and thine eye shall not, what? Shall not pity. We have that in verse 21. And thine eye shall not pity. In chapter 19:21, Deuteronomy. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. I have to say this. Who is that fool that said, oh, that spoke against? One of your leaders, or the leaders of that previous Bamidbar wilderness generation, he had a dream, right? He had a dream, right? He had a dream. Let the dreamer dream his dream, right? Wake up. It's time to wake up. And thine eye shall not pity. And thine eye shall not pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. What do we have here? All right? It says, Willo, tachos, tachos, tachawas. Willo, tachos, aineka, ain, aineka, aineka, aine, thy eye, and thy eye shall not titty. The subject of making war immediately follows that dealing with compensation for the loss of a limb. Some say, well, the eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth, then we'll all be blind and we, you know, we'll be lame and stuff like that. Well, hold on for a moment. The eye for eye and a tooth for tooth here says that if you wrong one, then by God's just law of keeping the balance, equilibrium, right? Keeping the balance, balancing the equation. Do you not think that an equation should be balanced, right? That it should be in the balance and when things are not? How you feel when you don't feel balance, right? You know, like in health-wise, if your health is not balanced, that's good. So you should stay unbalanced. And what happens? You ever ride a bike and you lose your balance? You ever skating? You ever doing anything? And you ever walking and you lose your balance? So let's understand this, that the subject of making war immediately follows that dealing with compensation for the loss of a limb. Right? There should be compensation for, I mean, people all day, they talk about, someone owes them. And then they'll say, I was wrong. Somebody took something of mine, and I deserve to have this back. Or, you know, like, so as you go to work, and you know you're working this hard, and you're working overtime because you're counting that money, and somebody just snatches part of that. I mean, that's cool. That's cool for you, right? Because eye for an eye and tooth for tooth in life, you know, we will all be blind and lame then. That means if there's that much sinning and taking, then yeah, then you'll need to be blind and lame for a moment. Because the Messiah says it's better to enter into, right, the kingdom. You know, missing some bad part, then getting your whole part thrown in downstruction, headed for self-destruction, and thine eye shall not pity. Welo tachos oineka, oineka. Welo tachos oineka. Nefesh, be nefesh, be nefesh. Right, oin be oin, shin be shin, yad be yad, we regel be regel. Then I shall not pity. We lo tachos oineka. Now, in the study of the text and the application of the text, right, and the ancient sages, the Rebbeinat and the Memharan, the teachers of Torah and the rabbis, they interpreted the eye for eye to mean that the payment of monetary compensation. Now, we can go into a little deeper reasoning for those who are so interested. Exodus chapter 21, verse 24, and Numbers chapter 35, 31, and Degna means again, Exodus chapter 21. Verse 24 and Numbers chapter 35, verse 31, for the eye for eye, the ayin, right, the eye, the ayin, right, the ayin, the ayin, ayin, the ayin. It says, Welo tachos ayineka, and thine eye shall not pity. So interpreting this in the act of use within the community, it wasn't literally that somebody going to pull out your eye or such and such, but it was showing the principle. Right, that principle of the balancing of the equation, right, the balancing of the equation. Thine eye shall not pity, especially a false witness. Thine eye shall not pity, an eye for an eye, the payment of monetary compensation. Now, when we pick up with chapter 20, right, because this Torah portion, picking up here with chapter 21 and 10, is a continuation
of what began in chapter 20. Thus, we have even the similarity, the word was five words, those five words, ki te seya lam milchama al oibeka. Very same words here in 20 and 1, and in the beginning for this Torah portion in 21 and 10. All right, very same words. Ki te se lam milchama al oibeka. When thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies. Now, there were those who were to be exempt, disabled men. Those seriously disabled are exempt from military service, as well as other disabilities, right, or conditions that would righteously exempt a man of Israel, a son of Israel, from battle. We can get into those details as well. We've already touched on it from the previous Torah portion, but it deserves the reasonment for Ilan to reason and be able to articulate, right, what it is that we understand or what it is that we think we understand, because iron sharpens iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. Water reflects water, right? It is to be connected with thine eye shall not pity. All who are under obligation to serve must be compelled to do so. So those who are able-bodied, those who didn't just buy a house or just marry a woman, or who are not faint or weak-hearted. That's what it's saying in the Torah. All right? If you bought a house, you know, dedicate it, livicate it, right? Live in it, livicate it. If you planted a garden, fulfill that. Right? So you eat the first of that, right? If you married a woman, well, then you take her and enjoy her and let her enjoy you. It was so in the Torah, right? If you're not weak-hearted or faint-hearted, then get up, stand up. Stand up for Japhite. But first, Shammah, let us hear what is truth and right to be done in Japhite, and also who to fight, and also how to fight. Amen? So here it says, Ki teitze la milchama al oibeka. All right, not to get into all the details right here, but it's interesting that it begins off, right, stating, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. So appearances is not to judge by appearances. We see our enemies more so. Our enemies got more numbers, right? You stand on the street corner and they say, all manners of evil against us falsely. For Rastafari namesake. But as the scripture says, it, thou shalt not be afraid of them. For the Yahweh, the I Elohim, Eloheka is with the eye. That's the great Emmanuel, 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 John, Elohim. The power is with us which brought the eye up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye are come nigh, near to the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. That when y'all draw nigh, near to battle, right? So as we're drawing near to battle, the priest shall approach and speak. The priest will approach and speak to Ha'am, the people. Speak to John people and say to them. What will he say to them? Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Y'all draw nigh this day to battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, nor be alarmed, neither be y'all affrighted at them. Ki Yahuwah Elohekem, for the Yahweh, your Elohim, is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. This is a very powerful statement, word sound. All right. So when the priest, HaKohen, says that, each of us must receive these words as, I will hear, I will shema, drawing near this day to battle against our enemies. I will not let our heart faint. I fear not, I'm not alarmed, neither am I and I affrighted at them. For Jehovah Jah, I and I power is he who be who he be that goeth with I and I and we to fight for I and I against our enemies to save I and I.
It's how we encourage one another. It's how we encourage our own soul. What did Sir David did? Right? Remember that scene that I spoke about, you know, when they took the one of the enemyites, forgot their name, they took David's wife, his two wives and their children, and took a lot of the other among them, women and children, and the soldiers that was rolling with David, they were so upset they wanted to stone him. What did David have to do? He had to encourage himself. Right? Hashem Yehovah had to encourage himself. I have to encourage ourselves. See, when HaKohen speaks this word, Shema Yisrael, and he says to us, right, that y'all draw nigh this day to the battle against your enemies. How do we hear this? Do we take heed? Or we let noises and other things and what's going on around us? Do we take these words in? To the innermost of the innocent? Right? When HaKohen says, Shema Yisrael, y'all draw nigh. We're supposed to receive that as we draw nigh, as I draw nigh, I draw nigh, this day to the battle against your enemies, to this day to the battle against our enemies. Let not your heart faint. I will not let our heart faint. Fear not, I fear not, nor be alarmed. I am not alarmed. Neither be y'all affrighted at them. I is not affrighted at them. Why? Ki Yehovah Eloheikem HaHolek Imakem. For Jehovah, your power is he that goeth with you. Goeth with us for what purpose? Hilahem. To do what? To fight. Lachem. To fight for you against your enemies. To save you. Im oy bekem. Le ho shia. Le Hoshia etekem to Hoshia. Hosaena, Hoshaena, Hoshaena, Hoshi. Says what? Le Hoshia. Going forward to say Hoshia etekem. All of y'all. All I and I. Hoshia, Hoshia, Hoshaena. All right, to save I and I. That's what the Kohen will say. Then the officers speak to Ha'am, the people, speak to Jaz fighting among them, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not livicated it, dedicated it, says, but we say livicated it. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man livicate it. And what man is there that hath planted the vineyard and hath not used the fruit thereof? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man use the fruit thereof. That would be wrong. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, a woman, a Isha, and have not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her, because that would be wrong too. And the officer shall speak further to Ha'am, the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? So even if a man is fearful and faint-hearted, as I now say, weak-hearted, let him go and return to him house, lest his brethren's heart melt as his heart. Because John don't need just numbers. He don't need the big numbers. So he doesn't have to get a certain number. Right? But it's those who make their wills obedient to John's good influence. Show up. Come forward. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking to the people that the captains of hosts shall be appointed at the head of the people. Then ones and ones are appointed. Right? Because the command and the control in Jah's order. See, as we learn about order. Right? So we talk about order in the family. We said that the man is the head of the womb man, right? And the head of the man is Christ. And the head of Christ is Abba Father. Right? There's even an order. Right? Even an order here in the battlefield. There's order. And it says, when thou drawest nigh to a city to fight against it, it says, then we draw nigh, then proclaim what? Proclaim shalom to it. Right? Proclaim shalom. Now, interpreting this verse of nations other than, this is to be interpreted of nations other than the inhabitants of the Canaan, nations other than those seven nations. But some would understand it also of these particular seven nations. Well, let's go on. Some point out that Moshe offered peace to Sihon, king of the Amorites, and only after he declined the offer did Moshe make war against them. There are, however, two important differences between a war against the seven Canaanite nations and a war against other peoples. Did you know that? There's
differences. Two major ones we're going to point out. See, with the latter, speaking about the other nations other than the Canaanite nations, only the males were to be slain. And the women and children were saved alive when they were of other nations that sought to reject the shalom, Ainai shalom. When they were defeated, the males were slain, but the woman and the children were saved alive. Now, with the Canaan, right, the seven nations of Canaan, no one, male, female, woman, children, no one was to be spared. Furthermore, in the event of their accepting Yisrael's shalom, peace offer, the other nations had only to recognize Israel's sovereignty. Whereas the seven nations of Canaan, in the Old Testament sense, like the seven heads of the dragon, right, who actually lived among Israel, had to accept the elementary laws of humanity. And what are those elementary laws? It's just elemental. Well, what are those elementals? They are known as the seven commandments of the sons of Noah, or the Noahide. The Noahide. Now, if it make the answer of shalom, suppose they said shalom, they accept it. The reason why the Gibeonites didn't take advantage of this law, but resorted to trickery. Remember in Joshua chapter 9, verses 3, some say it's either that they anticipated Yehoshua's shalom, peace offer, or they wanted to attain the status of an ally. They wanted to be an ally other than that of a tributary people. So there's one can be an ally of Ainai, or they can be a tributary. It's important for Ainai to understand these differences as well. Now, as we go through this, we now pick up here in the 49th Kitei Sei, right, a continuation, those very five words that we have at the beginning of chapter 20, we have here at the beginning of this 49th weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding, in chapter 21 and 10. Ki teitze la milchama al oibeka. And the beautiful captive. And seest among the captives a woman of goodly form, and thou hast a desire to her, and wouldest take her to be to thee to wife, would take her to yourself to be your Isha, right? To be your Isha. Well, what about that? Wouldest take her to thee to wife? Here, some say scripture makes a concession to human weakness. Some say it's made concession to man's weakness. I say that it's just recognizing the facts of the matter, but we need to understand the text and the context of this. Firstly, in its Old Testament type. And then let's ask a question. Does this apply in the Brit Chadasha, the Hadish Kitan, in the New Covenant? And how and in what way? Come, make I and I reason. Shalom, Habarim, Shalom. This is the Ras Ayadonis Tefarai of the LOJ Society of His Imperial Majesty, touching a little bit on this Torah portion. Testify, yes, I and I got to testify what Ras Tefarai has done, what he's doing, and what he will do for I and I and we. Called by that new name, Ras Tefarai. Shalom, Habarim. Shalom, 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 Shalom.
Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
I shall never fret.
Them only things that them can't stop me from sing.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam.
Shabuah Tov, Shabuah Tov, Shabuah Tov, Shabuah Tov, Shabuah, Shabuah.
referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days.
I shall never pray.
Them was the things that them can't stop me from sin.
Cause I saw the light, no more in darkness. Last day I put me in the light. Yeah.
One man me fear, I did Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with some vendetta. So we basket no empty. Enough time them try to tempt me. Must it show me a lead by far and empty. Them team up and a sign and a tie stop me time from. Me make me empty. But a one man me fear of the father. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire. All when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's real of the pain. Me a feel them a kill with.
Say what you want, say what you feel. Me no beg friends, so we coulda never deal. Real, find me, try stop the meal. Seems like you a send me to the battlefield. Press what you want, press, and you a steal. Run what you want, run, and you a wheel. Then straight up, then I coulda what you feel. Man a soldier, so me coulda never kneel.
One man me fear, I the Messiah. Me a boy, I believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield, without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me know. The father, me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with some vendetta. One man me fear, the Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me numb, no food, no water.
Yes, yes, yes. Mashem Yeshua. Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov. A good Shavua, good seven days to come. Have a good first day. Be blessed, highly favored. Give thanks to the breath of life. Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. Mashem Yeshua, HaMashiach.